This Ascension Thursday, the epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. In the former book, O Theophilus, I spoke of all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day on which he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, during 40 days, appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while eating with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard, said he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore who had come together began to ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the time or the times or the dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the very ends of the earth. And when he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While they were gazing up to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white garments and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you have seen him going up into heaven. And then the gospel. Taken that according to St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were at table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart, in that they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall attend those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall get well. So then the Lord, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the preaching by the signs that followed. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So a consideration today on the two angels that came to speak to the men of Galilee. You men of Galilee, why do you look up to heaven? Why are you looking up to heaven? And so, two angels came, we read in the Acts of the Apostles, You men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? He will come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. And so, why do you stand looking up to heaven? So a consideration of these things. The apostles, even on the day of the ascension, believed in a material coming of Christ. And they believed that he was going to conquer the world in a material way and give them some kind of material benefit. Is now the time that you are going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is the conversation they have, the question they ask of our Lord. It's the final question that Jesus Christ will be asked before he goes to heaven. Is now the time? It is interesting that this should be the final question that he has ever asked. Is now the time that you will restore the kingdom? And our Lord Jesus Christ gives his final answer. It is not for you to know the times or the dates that are appointed by the authority of the Father. They ask a question, he does not give an answer. He goes up into heaven. He is taken up in their midst into the clouds. And they are looking up to heaven. Two men come to them, the angels, and they say, "Why are you looking up to heaven?" "Because he's going to come down." What were they looking for? In modern speak, we would say the apostles were looking for closure. They were looking for closure. They wanted some kind of miracle. Some sign left in the sky. Maybe like the rainbow. After the flood, God appeared to Noah and he said, "You see this rainbow that I will place in the sky? Whenever you shall see it, it shall be a reminder that I will never bring the world to end by water ever again. There shall never be such a thing as a flood like this ever again." And this is the reminder. Maybe they remembered Noah and the rainbow, and they were looking for some other kind of sign, perhaps a permanent cross that would be in the sky, or some other kind of sign. They were looking for a feeling that would come in their hearts. The feeling did not come. The sign was not there. Two angels came to them and they said, "Why are you looking up to heaven? Do you not know that he will come back by the very way that he came?" Which is one of the many seeming contradictions in the gospel. If he's going to come back by the same way, then we had better be facing him and we had better be looking. And yet the angels say, "He's going to come by the very way that you have seen him go up. So don't look. But go about doing good." And so what is it that is being requested of these apostles? They are being sent on their mission. Now in the Gospel of St. Matthew, we consider the external mission of the apostles. "Going therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them whatsoever I have taught you." That's what our Lord said before going up into heaven in the Gospel of St. Matthew. But here in the Acts of the Apostles, he is going to refer to another mission of the apostles. And that is the mission of building heaven on earth. The kingdom of heaven. How is that done? By sanctity. "You know not the times or the dates that are appointed by the Father. It is necessary that you do not look up to heaven, waiting for something to happen from above, but you must do something within. You must look within yourself and find there the presence of God, which is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, sanctifying grace. And then you have to do something about that. That is, you must practice virtue and you must strive for sanctity. It is in the divine plan that it is saints who bend the ear of God. And it is by sanctity that the world is going to be transformed into him and that his kingdom is going to be spread. It is necessary that we carry Jesus Christ into the world. But how are we going to carry him unless he dwells within us? And therefore, we have to work on the striving for sanctity. That is part of, an essential part of the apostolic mission. We are not supposed to only go and tell the things that we have heard. But we are supposed to change ourselves. And we are supposed to wrestle with God. The great example in the Old Testament, Jacob. Jacob one night met an angel. And he was speaking with the angel throughout the day. And in the evening, the angel said, "I am going to depart." And Jacob said to the angel, "You will not depart until you tell me your name." He did not know that it was an angel. And the angel said, "I will not tell you my name, but I will depart." And Jacob said, "I will not let you depart, lest you tell me your name." The angel began to depart, and Jacob fought with the angel. He wrestled with him throughout the entire night. They fought the entire night. The angel tried to escape, and Jacob wrestled with him. Finally, in the morning, The angel stood up and he stopped his fighting. You have wrestled with me to find my name. I will not tell you my name, but I will give you a new name. For you are no longer Jacob, you are Israel, because you have been strong with God. You have fought strong against God. So he received a new name and he was called Israel. And then in order to keep things into perspective, the angel showed his power and he took his finger and he touched Jacob on the side of his hip and his hip shrunk and he limped for the rest of his days. Just to let Jacob know that he never had a chance in the fight. And that the angel only allowed him to wrestle. But he wanted him to wrestle throughout the night to see the perseverance of Jacob. And if he would persevere, then he would receive a new name and receive a new power and be the true father of the Messiah. And the 12 tribes that would be named after him, the 12 tribes of Israel. As our Lord ascends into heaven, he says to his apostles, not many days hence, the Holy Ghost, the Paraclete, is going to come. You need to wait for his coming. He is going to give you power. He is going to transform your souls. It must needs be for your sakes that I go, he said on Holy Thursday night. For if I do not go, the Paraclete cannot come. And when the Paraclete comes, he will give you power. And it will give you a new name. And we are going to carry this new name into eternity. And we are going to have a new power. And it is the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Firstly, by sanctifying grace. Secondly, by his gifts. And then by the fruits of the Holy Ghost. And then he teaches us virtue. And the Holy Ghost fills us. And then it overflows from ourselves into the world. And that this is the apostolic mission. You want to restore the kingdom of Israel. It is interesting that this is the first time that our Lord does not say, I'm not here for material kingdom. They ask him, are you going to now restore the kingdom of Israel? He says, yes. But it is not given for you to know the times and the dates. For Israel is a new kingdom. It is the divine life inside of my soul. This kingdom must be transformed, must be recreated. As we say in the Mass, in the offertory of the Mass, that God created man wonderfully, but mirabilius reformasti, he has more wonderfully reformed, reshaped, recreated him. And he is more wonderfully reformed, reshaped, and recreated in the Holy Ghost, in the workings of Christ in us, which comes through the Holy Ghost. He is the one that makes it possible for us to hear the words of Christ, to receive the fruit of his crucifixion, to be members of his church and his mystical body, to be prepared for heaven. The Holy Ghost is going to reform us, reformasti, give us a new life, make us members of the mystical body of Christ. And we're going to carry this membership out into the world and transform it by being filled with Jesus Christ. And here our Lord says to his apostles, if you really want to be an apostle and you really want to spread the kingdom that I have come to found, then you must begin inside of your own self. And there are several things that must happen. First of all, you must wrestle with God. We have to wrestle with him. We have to spend time in his presence. We have to meditate upon his words and upon his gospel. We have to try to imitate his ways. We have to try to practice his virtues. And in this way, we wrestle with God. And then in the morning, at the end of the wrestling, there will be the proof that we have been with God. And the proof will be the touch of a finger upon our hips. We will limp the rest of our days. There will be a scar from the cross, a wound. No true love ever happens without a wound. There is no following of God, of Christ, without a splinter of his cross entering into our hearts. There is going to be some kind of residue of His presence. And that's going to be the proof that we have wrestled with God. Jacob would limp all the remainder of his days. And so that when we wrestle with God, we too will begin to limp. We will be aware of our weakness. And yet Christ will transform through the Holy Ghost this weakness into sanctity. He's going to change us. But when? We do not know the times or the dates. What does this mean in practice? It means that we imitate Christ in daily life. You say your rosary, and you have a hard time staying awake during it, but you say it anyway. It's the longest 15 minutes of the day, but you go through it anyway. You spank your children, even though you don't feel like it. You show them affection when it is time for the affection. You give them discipline. You give them their time. You do this so you fulfill your daily duties. But there is no warmth in this fulfillment of these daily duties. You feel as though you're going in circles and in circles and in circles. When will the Holy Ghost fill you? Is now the time that you will explain to me what it means to be a saint? Is now the time that you will give me the strength to be faithful and never fall again? Is now the time that you will take me into eternity? And Christ responds, you know it is not given for you to know the times or the dates that have been appointed by the Father according to His own authority. But not many days hence, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow you, and you will be filled with His power. When is it going to happen? When in God's good time. We are too impatient in supernatural life. We need to fulfill our duties. We wait for consolations. We wait for an opening of the intellect and a deeper understanding. We wait for an opening of the will and a deeper love. But God will give it to us in His own time. And that's whenever He wishes. Maybe it is today. Maybe it's 50 years from now. We continue until He does. And then the example of this operation of the Holy Ghost. I think I mentioned it last week, but I'll mention it again. From St. Teresa of Avila. And St. Teresa says, there are four ways in which we can water the garden of our souls. It's likened to a garden, our souls. And there are four ways to water it. Now the first way is to take a bucket and lift it down into a well and pull the water up and pour it on the garden and repeat this practice. This brings us the least amount of water and involves the most amount of work. But then there is a second way in which we can use a water wheel that is contained in the river. And by turning the water wheel, the water is dropped onto an aqueduct. And through the aqueduct, it is let down and goes into the garden. In this way, there is less work, but more water. We have only to turn the wheel. And then there is a third way. And that is when the river and the irrigation ditches are already in place. And all we have to do is lift a gate. And the irrigation floods the field of our souls. And it is completely filled with water. More water is attained, but we have only to lift the gate. Less work, more water. But then there is a fourth way, says St. Teresa, and this is the way of the Holy Ghost. And that is to do nothing, but simply to wait for the coming of the rain. It will come whenever it wishes. Whatever time God wants to send it, He will send it. And this is what our Lord says to His apostles, it is not given for you to know the dates or the times. But the Holy Ghost will descend in His power if we are faithful at His own good time. And He will fill us with the rain. Now this water is the most beneficial of all the waters and it gives us the best results. And therefore, our souls must learn to wait for the rain, to open ourselves up to the divine providence. And we do not look to heaven so often because this looking very often involves doubt. Is He really coming? Is He really coming? But when there is no doubt, We know that he is going to come, and therefore we look to the fulfillment of our duties. You men of Galilee, why do you look up to heaven? Look to the fulfillment of your duties. Look to growing in love and virtue. Look to doing the will of God, and then God will come. Just as you saw him go into heaven, he will come. And when he comes, he will come in power and glory. And if he finds you looking down to your work in the fulfillment of your duty, then it will be a happy day. But if he finds us in another way, it will not be for us. And so we must all strive for sanctity and to try to open our souls to the influx of the grace of the Holy Ghost. Persevere in patience in our daily duties, even though they do not taste well many times. And then the Holy Ghost will come into us and fill us with His Spirit. And that is what the apostles are to learn on this Ascension Thursday. But all they do is wait for the coming of the Holy Ghost. And they wait with the Blessed Virgin Mary over the course of the next 9 days. She keeps them together, and she prepares them. And then on Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Ghost will come in tongues of fire. And he will come in tongues of fire into our souls as well, as long as we wait with her and make our novena with her. She will make sure that her spouse comes into us. And so let's be sure that we do that. And in this way, we properly live the mystery of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.